March 2021. Welcome to another episode of Muse News, the BCMA's monthly museum sector news podcast. Each month, we recap some of the latest news, happenings, and announcements from museums, galleries, and heritage organizations across BC and beyond. I'm Lorenda.
And I'm Ryan.
Join us as we explore the latest Muse News.
Maritime Museum Director retiring, but effort to build new exhibit space continues. The Maritime Museum of BC will be looking for someone new to lead the push for a new home after Executive Director David Leverton retired this week. Leverton, who has been at the museum for 5 years and led a partnership with the City of Langford that could establish an $87 million Performing Arts Center museum near Costco, told the museum board he wanted to step down to pursue other interests. Quote, I worked very hard on behalf of the board of the museum for the past 5 years, and I'm very pleased that we've been able to stabilize the existing operation, and I'm confident the board will find a new executive director that is equally as passionate about the future of the museum as I am, said David Leverton.
Burnaby Village Museum will reopen to the public for spring break from March 10th to 26th, said a city news release, offering the opportunity to explore a stroll through the 1920s village and explore historical exhibits. Families can stop by the Burnaby Lake General Store and learn about popular store purchases in the 1920s, or visit the newly renovated herbalist shop to discover the role Chinese medicine has played in shaping communities like Burnaby. Returning to the museum as this year's feature exhibit is Across the Pacific, featuring stories, photographs, and artifacts illustrating the history and legacy of Chinese Canadians in Burnaby. The exhibit is presented in three written languages, English as well as traditional and simplified Chinese, and includes audio components featuring several Cantonese dialects. We are thrilled to reopen Burnaby Village Museum to the public for spring break, said Deborah Tootens, cultural heritage manager, in a news release. Museum staff have worked hard to create a safe and secure visitor experience that follows COVID-19 safety protocols and recommendations set by our local, provincial, public health safety authorities. We welcome everyone to come and visit us to rediscover what our museum has to offer.
MOA show looks at art and the survival of hope after devastation. On March 11, 2011, a magnitude 9.0 earthquake struck the east coast of Japan, setting in motion three different disasters. In addition to the quake, a massive tsunami obliterated coastal villages and towns and precipitated a meltdown at the Fukushima nuclear power plant. Given all this, you might think the Museum of Anthropology's new exhibit, A Future for Memory, Art and Life After the Great East Japan Earthquake, would be resolutely grim. But there are many moments of surprising resilience, and even joy in the show. The museum's Asia curator, Fuyubi Nakamura, took pains to balance the elegiac qualities of exhibition with hope, community, and commitments to rebuild. Nakamura initially traveled to the area to work as a volunteer in the months after the disaster, and returned every year until the pandemic. She said she didn't want to be one of the people who parachuted into the area and took what they needed, whether it was documentary footage or material for news reports, and then left. Her relationship with the people of the region has grown over the years, and as a sociocultural anthropologist, she was intrigued by the reactions of survivors and residents. A Future for Memory, Art and Life After the Great East Japan Earthquake runs until September 5th at the Museum of Anthropology.
115 years ago, it was one of the worst nautical disasters to ever take place near Vancouver Island. Now, the wreck of the SS Valencia, which saw the loss of over 100 people, will be the focus of a new exhibit at the Maritime Museum of BC. Shipwrecks are popular stories, of course, said Brittany Viss, executive director of the museum, in an interview with Victoria Buzz. The Valencia is a very popular and well-known one here on the coast. It also has some ghost stories associated with it that a lot of people know. The SS Valencia was a passenger steamer that was temporarily servicing a route from San Francisco to Seattle in January 1906. Stormy weather, strong southeastern wind, and bad visibility took the ship off course, causing them to miss the Juan de Fuca Strait. The ship ultimately collided with a reef near Cape Beale off the southwest tip of Vancouver Island. Pandemonium followed with an improperly trained crew loading lifeboats unsafely, leading to numerous deaths. They shouldn't have even gotten out in the first place, said Viz. The waves were just so strong and so high, they were right on the rocks. They were just completely capsized right from the get-go, and people were falling to their deaths on these rocks, and the people still on board could do nothing. In the inquest into the disaster, it was determined that better training for crews was needed to prevent loss of life. A new lighthouse was also built at Panchina Point to improve nautical safety. That lighthouse was first lit in 1908 and is still in operation today. On top of the material consequences, a number of ghost stories cropped up in the years after the disaster. Some sailors claimed to have spotted a spectral vision of the SS Valencia near Panchina Point, with human figures clinging to the rigging for dear life. Viss, an English and History graduate at the University of Victoria and Master's graduate of Library and Information Sciences, composed and curated much of the exhibit's content. She says the public interest in the story reflects on our human fascination with the horrific. I think it kind of just speaks to the fact that we're a little bit morbid, she said, with a laugh. It's kind of that same reaction, like when you're driving down a highway and there's a car crash and you've got to just slow down to take a look and see what's going on. Victorians and visitors to the city will get their own chance to slow down and take a look at the SS Valencia story at the museum starting on Friday, March 12th. The exhibit will run until September 2nd, 2021.
Point Ellis House in Victoria looks to patch up during the pandemic. It's been 2 years since the Point Ellis House Museum and Heritage Gardens reopened with a visitor center in place of an old tea house, and there's still work to be done, says the executive director, historian Kelly Black. Black has been at the helm of the 160-year-old house since 2019 and has sought many grants to cover decades of deferred maintenance. In a perfect world, Black would have used the museum's forced closure during the pandemic to catch up on decades of deferred maintenance. But the necessary funding is not easily had, even if the gates were open. Quote, "This is a major piece of colonial history," said Black. "We are trying to get the province who owns the site to invest in it accordingly so we can care for it and engage the public with the stories this place has to tell." For a long time, the society that runs Point Ellis House received only $40,000 annually. Revenues from the high tea, and even with a dedicated crew of volunteers, did not offset the funds needed, said Black. The funding is now at $80,000, but it's still not enough. A 2007 report, the Provincial Heritage Properties Sustainability Study, calculated a need for almost $240,000 in annual funding to keep Point Ellis House running.
One of Greater Victoria's favorite heritage sites is slated to undergo a long-awaited restoration of a key space. Thanks to funding from the province of British Columbia and Heritage BC, Victoria's Craigdort Castle will have its kitchen and pantry restored to a state that hasn't been seen in more than 100 years. The $288,000 in joint funding will help return the castle to how it was during the Dunsmuir era, before the kitchen and pantry rooms were radically altered in 1919 with the opening of the Craigdort Military Hospital. Located just minutes from downtown Victoria, Craigdort Castle was built between 1887 and 1890 by Robert Dunsmuir, a Scottish immigrant who made his fortune from Vancouver Island coal. Dunsmuir himself died in 1889, leaving his entire estate to his wife, Joan, who lived in the castle with their children until her death in 1908. The immense fortune of the Dunsmuir family is reflected in the National Historic Site, featuring four floors of exquisite stained glass windows, intricate woodwork, and fabulous Victorian-era furnishings. In later years, the castle was home to the Military Hospital, Victoria College, and the Victoria Conservatory of Music. Over the years, walls, windows, molding floors, and mechanical elements such as the laundry chute and the intercom panel have been removed. The restoration will include replacing the shutters, adding new wainscoting and moldings around windows and doors, repairing and painting plaster surfaces, and installing flooring. The castle's food preparation area will be returned to the Dunsmuir era, while abiding by the standards and guidelines for the conservation of historical places in Canada. Bringing the kitchen back to the Dunsmuir era presents a powerful opportunity to broaden the visitor experience, says John Hughes, Craigdort Castle Executive Director. A kitchen is a place that attracts us all and has a universal language. Hughes says that 86% of the castle's visitors surveyed expressed a desire to experience the kitchen and wanted to learn more about the Dunsmuir era servant activities and food preparation. Plans to restore the kitchen have been around since 2017, when the museum gift shop was moved from the kitchen space to the visitor center. Craigdort Castle is open year-round and at Christmas boasts lavish Victoria-era decorations throughout.
Historic mug shots offer a glimpse into Vancouver's bad old days. In 1912 to 1913, the Vancouver Police Department kept a mugshot book with photos of all the people they had arrested and handwritten descriptions of their alleged crimes. Many are petty, such as stealing a banana, while others are heinous, like murder. But taken together, they offer a unique glimpse into the city a century ago. Now, for the first time, the public can see the mugshots firsthand in an exhibition at the Vancouver Police Museum at 240 East Cordova Street. The museum also has original plate glass negatives for the shots, but at present is short of funds to digitize them. The impetus for the mugshot exhibit, in fact, is because the 1912 to 1913 book has been digitized and could be printed affordably. Quote, "We were trying to save money during COVID, and I was tasked with creating this exhibit for under $200, says museum curator Elizabeth Peterson. I did it by reusing old exhibit panels and with lots of in-house printing, and it worked out really well. The police museum is open Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays from noon to 5 p.m. Adult tickets are $12, seniors and students are $10, youth $8, and $30 for a family of four.
The Tumbler Ridge Museum is home to 450 million years of history with a massive prehistoric fossil collection full of potential. More than 3,000 unique pieces are stored in the facility, says museum manager Zena Conlin. Nowhere else has our timestamp. If you look at Drumheller, for example, it's just one level. What really makes us unique is that we have 450 million years to today. Mayor Keith Bertrand says British Columbia would greatly benefit from legislation to protect prehistoric finds, strengthening the work done by paleontologists. There is no provincial legislation which protects these fossils. Every year they go out and have to uncover what they've accomplished last year and start the work again. It's quite a delaying process, Bertrand said, noting Tumbler Ridge has independently stored fossils on behalf of the province for 20 years. He added the museum's ultimate goal is to set up a world-class fossil repository. This is the exciting part for me, because this is the future of our museum. We just have to develop it, Bertrand said to the fossils currently housed in storage. The building itself is close to reaching capacity and would benefit from enhanced climate controls or a purpose-built facility, said Conlin, noting any new building would be designated with community use in mind. We want to build in a way that is sustainable and has longevity. There's other groups we can get involved and it would make it a real cultural hub, said Conlin. Part of the bigger picture is to find what serves the community. There's an opportunity for conversation on what this building can become. She added their aim is to ensure the museum is supported in the next 10 years and beyond. In the meantime, plans are underway for a guest exhibit to be brought in from the Royal BC Museum later this year. The exhibit features the Pharosaurus cestenus, a new dinosaur species found in 1971 along the Sustet River in northern BC. 3D-printed bones will be shared with Tumbler Ridge, expanding their already massive collection. They've been really open with sharing knowledge, but it goes back and forth. We have a few things that'll be going down to Victoria for display there. That relationship is very strong, said Conlin, noting the two are collaborating on research into the Six Peaks Dinosaur Track site in Hudson Hope. It's the only known site in British Columbia which features multiple species on one trackway, uncovered in the summer of 2016. Partial castings of the trackway are housed at the Tumbler Ridge Museum. Conlin says every track tells a story. It has that effect. What we're trying to do is take these stories, the movement, the size, the scale, and bring that into the gallery, Conlin said. Tyrannosaurid tracks are rare, with only 18 known worldwide and 10 discovered locally, she added.
Blaze at Heritage Acres results in nearly 20,000 in damages. No exhibits impacted. Saanich Peninsula firefighters and museum volunteers helped to save priceless artifacts detailing the history of the Saanich Peninsula during a fire on Wednesday, March 17th. While the flames caused extensive damage to portions of the building more than a century old, the combined efforts of firefighters from Central Saanich, Sydney, and volunteers with the Saanich Historical Artifact Society prevented the worst, said Chris Ravel, fire chief with Central Saanich Fire Department. Quote, we were so pleased to say that none of the artifacts were damaged in this. There may be slight smoke damage, but no damage to the artifacts or the majority of the building, he said. Gary Bradshaw, treasurer with the society, said the quick response made a difference in preventing the fire from spreading to the main part of the building, where the society had been storing several antique vehicles.
How many of us in BC can say hello in the language of the people on whose traditional territory we live, work, and play? You might find yourself expanding your vocabulary and appreciation for the over 30 Indigenous languages spoken in BC after visiting the Roslyn Museum and Discovery Center to view Our Living Languages, First Peoples Voices in BC. The Roslyn Museum and Discovery Center has welcomed Our Living Languages, a traveling exhibit developed by the Royal BC Museum, into its galleries this season. Our Living Languages explores the rich diversity and resilience of Indigenous languages within BC. Through interactive stations, video, and audio, Our Living Languages provides visitors with the opportunity to learn more about the history of disrupted languages in BC, the complexity of these languages, and the people that are working tirelessly to document and revitalize them. In welcoming the exhibit to Sinek's territory, Sinek's matriarch Marilyn James reminds us that dialects are an important facet in language exploration. When you acknowledge a language, if you say, oh, it's Interior Salish, and that's all you know, you wipe out probably about 130 dialects, said James. Visitors to the exhibit will not hear the unique Sinek's dialect, but the museum's Sinek's display now includes oral stories as read by Marilyn James and Teres Alexis. James and her cohort and Blood of Life Collective are actively working on dialect revitalization. If you learn a language, you learn the language of the land. You learn the language of all the things on the land, added James. It's time everyone came to a good relationship. Learning these things is how to take a step in that direction. The Roslyn Museum supports the ongoing Sinek's Dialects Revitalization Project and is honored to be one of the future repositories of some of the tangible outcomes of their work, particularly a digital and print traditional names map. The museum also acknowledges that this is part of the responsibility as it operates on unceded Sinek's territory and that they continue to expand their knowledge and assist in the efforts to expand knowledge of the Sinek's people. Our Living Languages is a co-production of the Royal BC Museum and the First Peoples Cultural Council, a Crown corporation with a mandate to support the revitalization of First Nations languages, arts, and culture in British Columbia. The exhibition was developed with the assistance of the Language Exhibition Advisory Committee, comprised of cultural experts from First Nations communities across the province. This amazing traveling exhibition is open to the public in the J.D. McDonald Hall through May 2021. The Roslyn Museum is open year-round, Tuesdays to Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. To stay up to date on breaking Muse news, follow our Twitter at BCMuseumsASSN. And if you would like your Muse news to be shared on this podcast, please email the BCMA at bcma@museum.bc.ca. Thank you and good night.